It will have been a year this Sunday since Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby charged six police officers with a range of crimes, from misconduct in office all the way up to second-degree depraved heart murder in the death of Freddie Gray. But only one officer has gone to trial, and that trial ended in a hung jury. The subsequent trials have been delayed, while prosecutors and defense lawyers fight it out in appellate courts over whether officers have to testify against each other. As our series, Baltimore, A Year After Freddie Gray, continues, WYPR's Kenneth Burns looks at the state of the trials.
Something unusual took place on May 1st, 2015, when Marilyn Mosby stood before the world at the War Memorial downtown.
The findings of our comprehensive, thorough, and independent investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges.
The charges came almost 2 weeks after Freddie Gray's death from a broken neck that prosecutors say he suffered in the back of a police van, taking him from the 1700 block of Presbury Street, where he was arrested, to the Western District Police Station. University of Maryland law professor Doug Colbert says what Mosby did is rarely seen.
You must recognize the unusual nature of bringing criminal charges against any of the officers who are from the department that they depend upon for prosecution and ultimately conviction.
It was Officer William Porter's trial that ended in a hung jury last December. That cast doubt on Mosby's decision to pursue cases so quickly against him, as well as Officers Caesar Goodson, Edward Nero, and Garrett Miller, Lieutenant Brian Rice, and Sergeant Alicia White. But Colbert, who has been watching the trials, says prosecutors did not rush to judgment and that a public trial has been healthy for the case.
Because it allows community to understand what happened to Freddie Gray and to appreciate the evidence that was presented at trial.
Former prosecutor Warren Alperstein has also been watching the trials. He says that it's too soon to say whether prosecutors erred in pursuing charges.
I think it's hard to pass judgment based on just the results of Officer Porter's trial, which of course we all know was a mistrial because of the inability to get a unanimous jury verdict.
Alperstein predicts that if officers are convicted, the public won't fault prosecutors.
On the other hand, if the state has expended many resources and months of trial time tying up the court system and the various agencies that support these trials, and there are no convictions and there are hung juries and acquittals, then I think many would argue that the state did in fact fail.
For now, those arguments, as well as the trials, remain on hold. In March, the Court of Appeals ruled that Porter can be forced to testify while awaiting his retrial, rejecting arguments that doing so would violate Porter's Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Earlier this month, Circuit Judge Barry Williams granted prosecutors' request to force Miller to testify against Nero, whose trial begins in May. Nero's lawyers say they are waiting for the written opinion in Porter's case before deciding whether to appeal Williams' decision. Even with the legal maneuvering and the apparent delays over the last year, Alperstein says the trials are moving much faster than normal.
There are many hundreds of defendants who are incarcerated awaiting their trial and that have been jailed awaiting their trial date much longer than the 7 months that it took to bring Porter to trial.
Porter's new trial has been scheduled for September, 10 months since the start of his first trial. Judge Williams now has scheduled trials for the others between May and October. However, those dates remain subject to change. I'm Kenneth Burns for 88.1 WYPR.